the Apostolic Church of Deliverance. Where we serve how many Lords? How many baptisms? How many faiths? One faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who's above all, through all, and most important He is. Amen. Now, I know we probably haven't learned all the scripture yet, but what is our theme for 2015?
Believe in God.
Against odds, that means that the odds really are stacked against you. But with God on your side, the Bible said we're not just a regular conqueror, we are what?
More
than a conqueror. And our scriptures are Luke 8, 49, and 50. Amen. I memorized most of them, but I've been memorizing so many others, I just forget it. Amen. But 8:49 says that one of the rulers of the synagogue, rulers of the house of the synagogue, God came and said to the ruler, said, "Your daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." Amen. In other words, the situation is beyond all hope. There can be no change. Trouble not the master. But Jesus said unto him, anybody want to go down when Jesus would intervene and say unto him? Amen. Jesus said unto him, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be whole." Right? Anybody need to be made whole? Get rid of fear. Get rid of anxiety. Amen. And let God have his way. In St. John's 11:40, Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest what?"
Believe.
You know why our God is so good? He don't make us do any labor for what we need to do. Amen. We don't have to pay billions of dollars like a lot of these psychics and these prophets make you pay. All he says do what?
Believe.
You know, if somebody is sort of like Naaman the prophet, Naaman the Syrian, when he needed to be healed, his servant said, if he bid you do something great, he would have done it. He said, why not just be obedient and go and do it, right? Why not just be obedient and just believe? Why do we have to have all the extra stuff? And he said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou what?
Yes.
You're going to see the glory of God. Anybody want to see God's glory? Yeah. Well, you got to believe. Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading. Unfortunately, we have an alternate backup computer because the other computer, the power cord, died on it. So you're going to have to use your own Bibles today. Amen. Or share the Bible with someone next to you. Amen. And we're going to read from Philippians, the fourth chapter, Philippians 4th chapter, verses 4 through 9. Entering into 2015, you know, we've seen a lot of our dispositions and challenges that we've had in 2014. It seemed like in 2014, worry was a lot of our best friend. The spirit of worry, anticipation of what's going to happen. A lot of people have borrowed this, I believe, John Mason in his book called The Enemy Called Average popularized it, but it was first introduced on the scene by Mark Twain. And he said, worry is interest paid in advance on a debt that you don't owe. Worry is interest paid in advance for a debt that you don't owe. In everyday English, go tell somebody, "I'm going to pay you $1,000 because I know one day I'm going to owe you some money." Right? That's what worry is. We pay in advance for a debt that we don't owe. So our message today is going to be stop worrying about it. Just stop, you know, just leave it alone. Leave it with God, you know, because a lot of times we come to church, we pray about stuff, we're so excited, then we go back home, we go right back into our worry mood. So today, can we just stop worrying about it? Amen. Can we agree as a whole? Can I get a wave offer for those that agree? Let's just stop worrying about it. Well, don't just do this out of happenstance, but let's mean it from the depths of our heart. Yes, it's some stuff. Worried about what's going to happen in this situation. Worrying about what's going to happen to a loved one. Worrying about what's going to happen here. Worrying about things that have not even happened yet. Amen. And we're going to go over some definitions or some illustrations of worry a little later. Amen. But Philippians 4 verses 4 through 9. Do we all have it?
Amen.
The scripture Paul, and he's writing from where?
Prison.
He's writing in where?
Prison.
Even in prison, he didn't worry. He didn't let the situation dictate how he was going to worship God. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
How?
Always.
And again I say,
rejoice.
Rejoice. Let your rock moderation be known unto all men, the Lord. Yes, Lord, thank you. I can't control it, but I'm glad you're in here. Amen. Be careful. Be careful for nothing. But in. He said, don't have all that anxiety. You don't have to worry. But in what? Everything by. This is the only antidote that you need for what situation you have. Rejoice where you are. Realize the Lord is in hand. Don't worry. Amen. And then we in everything we are to what? What are we supposed to do? Prayer and what? Supplication with thanksgiving. Let you know if somebody says, wait, you give me $1,000, I can help you. He said, no, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is pray. Prayer and supplication with thank God. Then just let your request be made known unto God. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And now one of our pivotal scriptures from last year. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both. Anybody help me learn some stuff? He said, you know what? What you learned there, it's time to put that what you learned into practice. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the who don't have peace? You gotta go to the God of peace. Shall be with you. Lord, we bless you on this afternoon. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness, and mercy. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus for blessing us to see another year. Lord, we thank you for how you bless, keep, and sustain us in spite of everything that seems to be coming against us. Now, Lord, on this afternoon, our hearts desire, Lord, is make and help us to be what you have us to be. Lord, we ask you to break every stronghold. Lord, we ask you to break the spirit of anxiety and worry. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus to free the captive mind. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, send your word to heal, to deliver, and to set free. And for this, we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Amen. And you may be seated. Worry. Amen. Worry. Interest paid in advance. Now, most of us don't make enough money to make it almost from week to week. Why are you going to pay something that you don't have to pay? Amen? Worry is interest paid in advance for a debt that you don't owe. Amen? Today, we're trying to figure out what's going to happen tomorrow. I heard Jesus said, take no
thought for tomorrow.
You know what he's telling you? Stop worrying. Amen? Take no thought for tomorrow, for sufficient for the day is the evil that God has it in control. So now, tell yourself first, stop worrying. Come on, stop worrying. Somebody said, I don't worry. If you don't worry, you need to get some joy in your face. Amen. You need to get some peace in your soul. Because what worry does, it robs you of your joy, it robs you of your peace, and most of all, worry robs you of your good health. Right? Because worry causes stress. Stress causes anxiety. And when you have stress and anxiety, that breaks down your immune system. Somebody said, why am I so sick? Because you don't stop worrying. Worry breaks down your immune system. Can we go medically for a few minutes? And when it breaks down your immune system, it breaks down the T cells, which are the cells that are necessary to have a good immune system. So all of a sudden, your hair starts falling out. Amen. It starts turning gray. Amen. You wake up in the morning. I know y'all look at me and say, well, you've been worried a whole lot. Amen. But worry destroys your whole internal working and the mechanism. You're sick and ain't nothing happened really, but you are worried. So worry destroys. And they said at least 60% of all Americans worry. Full of stress. Anticipation of something that you cannot change. Only God can change it. Amen. That's why the scripture says, you don't have to worry about it. Amen. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Can we just read it? A man in prison. A man that needed encouragement. Amen. A man that needed somebody to help him. The first thing he tells him to do is what? Rejoice. Whatever your situation is, can you get some joy? It's with joy that we draw waters out of thee. You sing. You're supposed to have some joy. Yes, I don't like what's happening. I don't like what's happening my way, but I still got my joy. Because salvation cometh from God. Joy cometh from God. Jesus said, the joy that I give you. Well, the reason we don't have the joy is because we don't come to the Savior. Amen. We keep worrying. Amen. Well, what happens if I don't change my this in 3 weeks? Let Jesus fix it for you. Because he knows just what to do. Whenever you pray, just let him. And so you pray, then let him have his way. Now, a lot of us pray, and we be saying, oh, God, I know you got this. And then before we can even get halfway out the church, we already picked that back up again. I know Jesus is going to fix it. Brother, I need you to pray for me. You already got prayer. What are you getting prayer again for? Because you don't want to let it go. That worry is driving saints of God in the ground. Worry has so many saints of God in the hospital. And you know what they said? A lot of the times the doctor said when the patients leave the hospital, they don't have a physical ailment, they have a mental ailment. Right? So a lot of the doctors are suggesting that their patients move to a different location or atmosphere to change their mental approach so they can get better physically. Now I pray none of y'all doctors ain't tell y'all to move. If none of y'all doctors ain't tell y'all to move to Arizona or Florida anywhere, right? I'm not saying what you want to do. When doctors tell you to move, they're telling you your problem is not physical. Your problem is mental. So you ever heard that you change your environment, hopefully it'll change your mentality and you'll be different. Worry is destroying families. Husband and wives fighting like crazy because they're worried about what they don't have or can't get. Parents fighting with kids because kids want what you don't have. All this worry for what? Amen. Paul said, having life, health and strength, let us be. If you have food and raiment, it says be what? I don't think nobody's starving, right? Anybody starving today? Having food and raiment, let us be content. Now, if you read down a little further in the same chapter, Paul says, I learned how to be abased and I learned how to abound. He said, I learned how to be full and I learned how to be empty. He said, but in all of this, I learned to be content. Contentment, you know, I can't change it. I'm not going to worry about it. It takes God to change our present situation So I just be content. Right? I'm not going to allow worry to drive me in the ground. You know, people are drinking themselves to death, drug after drug after drug, trying to escape the reality of what's happening instead of giving it to Jesus. No, what I do, I say, Lord, I'd rather pray and give it to you than pay. Right? I'm not going to waste my money spending hundreds of dollars a week on some alcohol that don't give me no relief. I'm not going to get on crack cocaine and all this stuff. Don't give me no relief. I want my money to stay in my pocket. So I just choose to pray. Isn't that a least expensive way out of trouble? We need to stop worrying. Amen. So Paul says in verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and the opposite of worry is what? In. Can we say everything?
Everything.
Come on now. All right. Y'all gonna stay with me. I'm not gonna be long. All right, because we gotta go somewhere. Y'all gotta stay with me. But now, it's time. Let's make a deal. All right, let's make a deal. Y'all stay with me. We short. If y'all quiet, that means maybe we're gonna have to stay through the program. Let me look at the nerve or something. That's what I can think, right? All right. So, can y'all say with me, but on a serious side of life, we are losing too much because of worry. Now, listen, do you know the Bible said the devil is wiser than Daniel? And he knows the things that make us tick. He knows the thing that makes you get down. You know, it's come to church, oh God, we had a glorious time. And before you can get out the door, you got one phone call, and another phone call, you get home and look like the devil met you at the door.
Amen.
Right? Why? Because you don't have your joy. You know, when the devil meets you at the door, he said, I knew you were going to be here. Praise the Lord, I see you home anyway. Right? You got to learn to accept the challenges that come your way with the right spirit and the right mind. So we just like, I won't say that because that wouldn't be nice, but we like to take, all right, I say it this way, we like to take the easy way out. Right? What's the easy way out? Spending money that you don't have. That's the easy way out. Spending money that you don't have, and then the next thing, there's no relief, so you do the same thing again. Some of us have been doing the same thing year after year after year after year after year. What's changed? Absolutely nothing. When Jesus said, if you guys bring it to me. It's just, you know what it is? If it's a him, bring it to me. If it's a her, give it to me. If it's dead, give it to me. He said, just give it to me and let me fix it for you. But that's the easy way out. So we just wanna look bad, feel bad, right? It's when people look at us, you know, I've seen some people that were the same age as me, but they've had a hard life, right? And people will say, well, how old are you? And they say, I'm such and such an age. And they ask, not necessarily somebody else, how old are you? Their life has been hard because of worry, vices, things that the devil uses to hold us down when all we have to do is come to Jesus. All you need, whatever, you need relief. Amen. You don't need no Alka-Seltzer. You don't need bad aspirin this morning. You don't need no juice. You don't need to go on a vacation. All you need is J-E-S-U-S. That's all you need is Jesus. Stop worrying about it. It's not going to change a thing. Amen. All that's doing is robbing you of your precious health. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. I'm going to be short. Wow. Shorter than thought. I'm going to be short if you stay with me. I'm going to be short if you stay with me. Actually, before we go to Luke chapter 12, let me go through our short scriptures first. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 5 through 7. In 2015, I refused to let the same demons in trial of 2014 follow me into 2015. So the way that they don't follow me is I have to change my way of thinking. We all know what Einstein says, what? What is insanity according to Einstein?
Doing the same thing,
the same way, and expecting different results. It doesn't work. It's hard to understand why people give their situation to God. That ain't me. You mean you want to be miserable? Some people say, well, I just sent you into church. You into the bottle, you into drugs, you into all that stuff that get you blind and messed up, that's stealing your life and health, and you ain't into God? That's the devil's deception. Because he's the God of this world, and the Bible says he has blinded the minds of those who what?
Believe not.
So every time you go against God, you say, I ask God to help me, but then I go against God. There's only two gods in this world. Either you're going to listen to God, or you're going to listen to the devil. So the devil blinds you into making you believe all that foolishness is going to help you, and God is there with open arms. Say, just come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, he said, I give you the good thing. God didn't say, he said, I might give you rest. He didn't say you might possibly find rest. But God said, I will give you. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Lay off, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with, you know what, just put it on. What? Humility. Amen. For God resists the proud and giveth grace. Sometimes it's just time to, you know, a lot of us have a preconceived way that we think we want things to be. Amen. Our purpose is going to be that way. Did you ask God, is that the way he wants you to do it? Is that what you want to do? And in a little while, when we go to Luke 12, we're going to read about somebody that purposed all that this guy said, I so much. God said, thou fool. I. You need to stop focusing on what you're going to do. You need to humble yourselves before God. Amen? He said, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in what? Now, you got some problems. You got some cares, you got some challenges, just cast a few of them upon God. Right? You're supposed to cast what?
All your cares.
You're going to talk to me. Cast what?
All your cares.
Because he?
Your
cares. You cast them on who? God. Whatever that situation is, why do you keep holding on to it? Give it to who? God, and stop worrying about it. Worrying changes nothing. It won't make you feel better, it'll make you feel worse. Worry is so bad, it'll make you act uglier than ugly can be. Right? How do you act uglier than ugly? Because of worry and then anxiety. And you already have, that this is how, look, can I tell you how the devil works? Can I work with y'all for a minute? Y'all want to work with me on this one? This is how the devil works. Right? You already say, you know what? That's my bottom limit. If that happened, this is what I'm going to do. So you know what the devil does? It makes it happen. I'm not going to take this. If this happened, this is what I'm going to do. So the devil makes it? Well, why does he keep making all this happen? Because it's what you're going to do. It's not what God is going to do. So, you know, every time I get a job, this always happens. So I don't care anyway. So the devil's okay. Every time you get a job, I'm going to take it from you because this is your attitude. Because this is what you say is going to happen. And he wants it to happen because every time it happens, you know what? He's getting more of the advantage. He's like a veteran, not a veteran, but who's that? The doodles. Puppeteer. Right? So you say, I'm going to do this because when this happens, this is what happens. So the puppeteer, the master puppeteer, he's just pulling all your strings. Right? Because you keep talking about you and I. What about him? Aren't we supposed to acknowledge him in what? Now I'm going to ask you a question right now. I know this is probably, this is supposed to be a Friday night Bible class or something like that. What have you been acknowledging God about? Or what did you purpose you going to do? Right. Now, can I pick on man for a minute? I'm going to pick on man for a minute. The reason I'm going to pick on men for a minute, because I grew up through different generations. Right? I grew up with my father who was in the army. I grew up with other men. There are some men that purpose how things are going to be, and it don't even make sense what they purpose, but that's what I, I'm the man of this house. Right? Anybody with me? Can y'all say ouch or something? I'm trying to think of some of the stuff my father purposed. So I said, we just had to do what he says do, period. You know, wasn't no debating, wasn't no arguing. If he said run and jump through the window, we ran and jump through the window. Because we just didn't challenge him because he had order. Right? he never made this jump through. I'm just giving it a facetious example. All right. But my father made us do stuff. This is a true story. My brother Joe used to be a paper boy when he was like 8 years old. And we lived at West Point, and this dog was huge. His name was Sarge. He was huge, bigger than Jason's dogs. The dog went after my brother Joe, and Joe threw all the papers at him running away from him. Which is the right thing to do, right? So ordinarily you say, hey, that's a smart thing to do. You got away. My father's hey boy, go in there with him, pick all the papers up. Wait a minute. Joe just ran from that big dog that all of us in the neighborhood are afraid of, and you want me to go? He said, yeah, take this stick, if that dog come, you hit him. This dog was huge. If Joe was 8, I'm 9 or 10. Right? So guess what I did? Took the stick. And went with Joe to pick up all the newspapers. Thank God. The dog didn't come out, because guess what? All those newspapers put them back out. But that's how my father was, right? When he said do something, we did it. And we didn't always like everything he said do. But as growing up as kids, we knew not to challenge that authority. But what I'm saying is, men, there are some things you have to think about before you put them in order. Right? I'm trying to use some of my examples because y'all don't think I'm picking on you. But if you think I'm picking on you, that's because you're guilty. Marriage. It takes how many to make a marriage? Right? So she can't purpose all that she wants, and if you do this my way or no way, he can't purpose all that he's going to do. Listen, we're going to sit here for 1 minute. All right? Everybody in marriage should be saying praise the Lord. Marriage takes two. And the forms of marriage really takes three. A lot of us have developed our own way of doing it. But we didn't ask God, is this the way you want me to do it? A lot of us have established this is how it's going to be, and there ain't going to be no other way. And God said, this is what God's talking to you in your mind. Said, that don't sound so good to me. And you say, well, God, I know. For myself, that's the way it's going to be. Humble yourselves under what? That he may exalt you. And it goes both ways. I mean, but yes, the man was created first. Right? Adam was created first. And the man is the head of the woman. As Christ. The head of the church. In Christ being the head of the church, is there anything that Christ would not do for the church? So all of us men, everybody's a man and married, raise your hand. I'm talking to you. All you men, raise them up high. Y'all might be ashamed of y'all married. You're supposed to love your wife. Man, stop worrying. The way Christ love the church. How many of your wife don't want to come home? And we're supposed to love them the way Christ. How in the world we get over here? Good God, this ain't even none of my notes. It ain't none of my notes. But it's just humble, right? Being pleasing to God. The way Christ loved the church. Say, well, you ought to be doing this. I look at Jesus in some situations that most of us would have blew up on, but not him. So yes, you want them to honor you as Christ honors the church, as Christ, as the head of the house. We're supposed to do it as Christ did the church. Read about it in Ephesians chapter 5 in your free time, because we don't have enough time. All right? So then the women say, well, Christ wasn't like that, so I don't have to listen to you. I heard him say, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham. Right, come on, ladies, y'all been saying amen. But nobody wants to go home. The wife don't want to go home to the husband. The husband don't want to go home to the wife. But we took, all right, man, everybody. I know everybody. Y'all messing up when y'all start looking down. Please look up, fake me out. A lot of us are getting married. Want to get married. You want to get married, this is empty too. Amen? Your home situation shouldn't be so bad that even the dog don't want to come in the house. Because you messing up with this one, and this one is messing up with this. Man, I ain't going to get to my notes. But what I'm saying is this. You know why most of us worry? Because of all of the ungodliness that we brought into the home. And the ungodliness is not through God. And growing up now, I had my kids, Justin, Tanya, Brooke, Aaron, all of them. We had some battles in the beginning. Right. We had some, right, Justin? We had some battles. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I learned something through the battles. Sometimes parents have to give. All right? We do want the kids, but you have to win the kids. Because when you drive an unnecessary hard bargain, you lose them. You lose your kids when you act in such an ungodly way. Now, this is a problem, parents. We're talking about both parents now. Can we say both? Y'all talking to them? I only got a couple minutes, so y'all might listen and talk. Parents, ugly, mean, not supposed to exist in the house. It just ain't supposed to happen. I'm saved, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm fire baptized. And that ugly, how? How does that happen? How do we went over this Friday night, how do we get out of the same fountain, bitter and? I've seen some people before, I was shocked. They were acting so ugly until the right person came around and they said, oh, like, wow. How do you change like that? How are you just a bulldog, a rattlesnake, and a python all and a cobra, and then all of a sudden you're a sheep and a lamb? How do you change like that? Because the right person came around, he that keepeth Israel, neither nor sleep. So you're doing it for the wrong reason. Now let's go to Luke chapter 12. I got to get out of here. I wasn't supposed to be that alone. But you know what? The reason that we have so much worry is because we don't have no peace in the home. If we get peace in the home, everything will flow better. Everything will be better. Amen. The husband don't want to come home to the wife. And I don't know none of y'all situations. I don't know who go where. All right, so don't y'all think I'm talking about y'all. And don't be pointing fingers at each other. All right, because when you point one, then they got what? Three pointing right to you. All right. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. Fear. We're talking about worry and fear and why we don't have peace and why we don't have joy. Amen. Because we don't keep God in the midst. As a family, why not sit around and say, you know, we want God to bless our family. So let's get a unified family plan for the direction we're going to take. Right? Oh, I saw this in this magazine. I saw this in this magazine. I saw this in this book. And this one, listen, every situation is different. That situation worked for them because of their life experiences. It might not work for you because you have different life experiences. When we came from the South, we had a set of life experiences. We said, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am, no, sir. And we didn't say, yeah, to nah. It just didn't work for us down there. When I came up North, they had a different situation. So you can't come up North and all of a sudden try to change, yeah, nah. We would get this, we would get popped for that. Yeah. Boy, who are you talking to? Right? We had, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, just, oh, excuse me? That's what we had to say. That's why we were from the South. So when I write my life experiences, I'm going to tell you what happened for me where. Well, when you're in the North, unfortunately, the North doesn't practice those same life experiences. So what worked for me, when you try it up here, it's not going to work. So wouldn't it seem better to say, well, let's sit down and get a family plan so that we all know what to expect, we all go in the what? Same direction. Amen. Luke 12, and I'm not going to stay here long either because my time is up. So I'm going to skip around. But let's go to the Bible. Let's go to Luke 12, and I'm going to go to verse 1 because I can't use all of the scriptures I have before because of the sake of time. But we're talking about stop worrying. Are you tired of your health being bad? Amen. You go to the doctors for the same thing over and over, they can't find out what's going on. It's time to stop worrying. Let's go to verse 4. We're on verse 4, and then we're going to skip down a little further. Verse 4 says, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body and have no more they can do. This is Jesus speaking. He said, I say unto you, my friend, be not afraid of them that kill the body and after that have no more than they can do. Verse 5, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him. That's why I said, if we're going to set our houses in order, can we do it according to God? Amen. If we're going to establish how the house is going to be, can we do it God's way? God forbid if the world keeps having such an impact on how the church governs their families. Right. Isn't it important that we do it His way? Amen. So it says, fear Him, which after He has killed, have power to cast into hell. I say unto you, fear Him. Amen. Now with that said, let's drop down to verse 15 of the same chapter. If, you know, it'd be good if you go ahead and read some of this in between stuff for yourself. Because when you start off in verse 1, it said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He said, beware for those that tell you one thing but do another. He said, that is hypocrisy. And then he goes on, he said, well, this is how the hypocrites do. They will do things and cover it because they don't want you to know. He said, but God will reveal it. He said, they will hide it, but God will make it known. This is how the hypocrites are, you know, because they don't think God. God sees, and God indeed knows. And you will be assured of one thing. We're supposed to fear Him that has power to destroy both the body and soul in hell. And so Jesus is dealing with acting one way and doing something differently. Then he ties all of that into verse 15. Amen. Verse 15 says, and he said to them, take heed, beware of greed for money. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And now he's dealing with the wrong approach for money. We all need money to live, amen? But the greed for money and the money without God, you want to have your money together with God, not without God. So now he's dealing with a realistic situation. And the problem with this rich man is he couldn't get past what he wanted. The rich man couldn't get past what he was going to do with no accountability for God. Amen. So verse 17 said, and he thought where? Within himself, saying, what shall we do? Because all he's thinking about is who? Couldn't include God in any of what I'm going to do. And you know what? I don't have to tell nobody else. I thought this within myself. Amen? He said, and this will I do. How many times has this man said I? We didn't get past the second. Right? All he's talking about is what? What I'm saying as a family, can we just, I want one thing, the wife wants something else, the children. Isn't it important that we have harmony in the home? We got to get rid of what I. Well, I was watching Hollywood, and this is what they did. Talk to God for your situation. And ask God to give you the wisdom to work out your situation. And the Bible said, ask, and God will give you liberally, because he upbraided, not if you lack wisdom. Amen? Amen. So he said, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say, this man ain't got past I yet. I will say to my soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, drink, and but God. That's why I'm saying, whatever we're doing as a family in our lives, can we include God? This rich man purposed everything, but he left a key element and ingredient out, was who? God. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required. Then who shall all those things be which thou hast? He said, you made all those plans, but you made one mistake. You forgot to consult with me. You purpose what you're going to do, but you forgot me. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do the other. The Lord said, wait a minute. All this stuff you're going to do, what's going to happen to that once I call you home? Amen. And I'm almost finished. Next verse says, so is he that what? And is not rich towards God. Today I wonder, how many of us are rich towards God? How many of us are just worrying ourselves to death, laying up treasures for ourselves? How many of us have purposed what we're going to do? And have acknowledged the Lord in all of our ways so that he could what? And rather. As a church, as a family, as individuals, isn't it time for us to let God direct us? Isn't it time to let God lead us and to direct our path? Amen. I grew up in Atlanta, in my neighborhood. Most of my family know my neighborhood. Almost everyone that was my peer in my neighborhood was in jail, dead, or strung out on drugs. And they were all, I'm serious, struck dead for years. Back in the 70s, they robbed banks downtown Atlanta with machine guns. And these are my friends, and I got in trouble with some of them. Till my mother finally made a stand. She said, no, you're not hanging with them anymore. And I used to go to my mother all the time. All the time, I was like, what do y'all say, mother? Up here, let me be politically correct for y'all, because we say mother, because we don't say mother down south, all right? But for y'all saying, I said, mother, but how come I can't do this? Such and such is doing this, and such is doing it, and they're doing the other. They don't have all these curfews, and they can do this. She said, because I ain't their mother. Right? So when I got in my 20s, I looked back and said, thank God I had a good mother. Because my mother wouldn't allow us to do this. None of my brothers ever went to jail. Never strung out on drugs. Never strung out on alcohol. You know why? Because we listened to my mother. Like I said, I see some of these people now. Some of them have died from AIDS, from drugs, and all that stuff, and needles, and all that stuff. The same people that I grew up with, when I see them, and I go, and even some of them, when I see them, they're not dead, they're almost dead. They have no life. But I thank God that my mother and father, kids, listen, I thank God my mother and father didn't allow me to do the things that they did. They put restraints on me, and they didn't put restraints on me. It made me a better person. I didn't understand it because I was a child, and as a child, I did what? As we all stand, I thought as a child. It's so important that families stop putting your bottom ball down for what you're going to accept, what you won't do as the elders and the ministers come forward, what you will and won't do. It's time, as a church, individually and collectively, that we get the mind of the Lord. And in getting the mind of the Lord, you know, we purpose and we determine to do certain things certain ways. At this stage of the game, it's time to get rid of all of that fear and anxiety that's just causing everyone else to be miserable. It's time for us to stop being our riches for ourselves. And it's time to be rich towards God. I don't know what anyone is experiencing this afternoon. Amen. And I don't know what you went through before you came to church. I don't know what you experienced during the week. But it's time to get a hold of God. And we need to be like Jacob. Jacob said, Lord, I got a hold of you, and I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. We need a blessing from God. You can't get a blessing from God when it's your way. We have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and then he will what? Exalt us and do the things that he gives.
Hallelujah.